Grace, mercy, and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, our living and reigning Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In Revelation chapter 1, we've been considering the series on the book of Revelation and looking at the final word that God has on everything. We saw on Friday night with our Good Friday service, God having the final word on sin. And now with Easter Sunday, God has the final word on death. And he says to John chapter 1, verse 17. John writes, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying, 'Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of Hades and of death.'" This is God's holy word. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Death and the grave are a prison. Have you ever had you or your family participate in one of these escape rooms? And maybe you've heard about them. It's one of these puzzle rooms where they basically lock you in a room together. And until you figure out all the clues and unlock all the puzzles, you can't get out. Well, my family and I did one of these over Christmas time, and it was a pirate-themed escape room. And what they did then was they took us into the room, shut the door, and the lady told us to each go into a prison cell. And I was unlucky enough to get one of the prison cells, and then my wife was in another prison cell, and then a couple of the kids were outside trying to figure out how to get us out of jail. So then she leaves and shuts the door, and there I am. And the first feeling I had was panic. Because all of a sudden, I realized I was locked in this room without any way to get out if I couldn't figure out the clues. And I had this instinct of panic, forgetting that, of course, she's watching on all the cameras and she can come in with the microphone whenever she wants to tell us what to do, which she had to do several times. In the Bible, there is the matter of death and Hades that is not quite as funny, and it's not quite as relieving, because the Bible says that death and Hades are an escape room you can never get out of. And in fact, in life already we experience this in small doses and large doses, how we come into contact with death in our lives, but also how we come into contact with pain, how we experience sin, guilt, and all of the feelings that go along with that. Any experience of anxiety is a touch of death. It's that sense of us being trapped in some situation that we cannot escape, and the ultimate reality without Christ is that is death. It's a prison. So without Christ, the final word on death would be afraid. Worry. Do whatever you can right now, because time is short and eventually you're going to get locked away too, and your body will get put into a grave. Without Christ, the final word on death is fear. In the Bible, Satan is pictured as the king of death. The sting of death is his ruling power. He rules over people with that sting of pain, of a world that's out of their control, of a timeline that they can't predict. And Hades is the place of his prison. Death stings because it robs us of something. death stings because it gives us an ending that we know we weren't created to have. We were not created to have this ending of all of a sudden life, vitality, breath, family, relationship, love is cut off by death. But we find that because of sin, things have gone differently, and so we experience a feeling of anxiety about death. The Old Testament has a whole theology that is a long and deep dive with one word called Sheol. And Sheol in the Old Testament is a Hebrew word for the realm of the dead. In the Old Testament, it pictures the realm of the dead or the grave in a number of different passages. In one passage, it's a prison. Jonah chapter 2, Jonah is trapped in the belly of a whale, and he's praying for deliverance, and he prays to God that he would be delivered from the grave. He says, "Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the floods surrounded me. I went down to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever." So one picture of Hades is a prison, a place you go and get locked away in. Another picture of death is as a hungry person. In Isaiah 5, it says, "Therefore Sheol has enlarged her stomach and opened its mouth beyond measure. Their glory and their multitude and their pomp and he who is jubilant shall descend into it." So the grave is a hungry person. And thirdly, Sheol is pictured as power that silences us. Psalm 6, "For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks?" Death silences people from praising God. The mythology of ancient Greece is seeming to chime in on a lot of these truths that the Bible has already laid out, and they twist it and change it into a myth. But there's echoes of the very thing it's talking about right here. In Greek mythology, the ruler of the realm of the dead is Hades. If any of you have ever read Percy Jackson, a popular teen fiction novels, his stories are built out of Greek mythology. And Percy is this young man who discovers he's half god, he's half human. And the stories go on and on about how he keeps getting challenged to go on different quests and prove himself. And with courage, he has to save the world. And in one of his books, he is tasked with a quest where he has to descend into Hades and face the god of hell, which is Hades, and retrieve his sword. And that sword is said to be the key to unlocking death. Now, the Greeks believed that also death and hell was a place where you get locked away, but there was only one person who had the keys. And that was Hades. Only Hades could lock or unlock the gates to hell. With this thinking in mind, if this is all there is to the story, if all we have to look forward to is prison, we would fall down trembling in fear to stand before a God who's going to give us our judgment. Or we could simply suppress it, ignore it, and just play along, play out life to the best we can. As the Epicureans used to say, eat, drink, and celebrate, for tomorrow you die. And so we live in a world where we are going to experience a sense of what that is like. In any time we feel trapped, we feel locked up. Psalm 18 says that the cords of Sheol have surrounded me. The torrents of death assail me. They want to lock me up. Without Christ, the final word on death would be fear. And we would live our lives in fear. So John falls down on his knees. It says that when John saw Jesus, he fell on his knees as though he were dead. He knew that he had no right and no standing to make the judgments on his soul before a holy God. But that's not the end of the story. And the Old Testament knows this, which is why, as much as the Old Testament talks about the Sheol as a place where everyone goes, good and bad, it always leaves us with a promise, a hope. As Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and I shall stand at last on the earth, and my eyes shall behold my Redeemer in the flesh. So the Old Testament pictured the need for a divine warrior, a warrior who could come to confront the greatest powers this world has ever been under, death, that it could confront Hades, that it could confront these evil powers and take away their authority and have victory. This is what the story of the Red Sea is all about. When the Israelites come to the banks of the Red Sea and they're trapped in on every side, Pharaoh's army is marching down to the shores of the sea. They're charging at the Israelites, and the Israelites have no place to go. They have no escape. They're locked in. The sea is their only way out, and that leads to Hades. But as those armies are marching on them, Moses says, don't be afraid. For God will fight for you today, and you will see his salvation. And all night they pray. And in the morning, God parts the sea, and he gives them a solid highway to walk right through the realm of the dead into life, victorious. When Pharaoh comes charging after them and wants in his madness to lock them up, Pharaoh gets doused and destroyed in the sea. The final word on death doesn't come from Hades. It comes from the risen Christ, the one who appears to his disciples behind what kind of doors? Locked doors. He comes through behind locked doors to appear to his disciples, and he says, the first words he says are peace. He has the final word, not them, not sin, not Hades. He says, don't be afraid, John. He reaches down and he touches him. That touch of Jesus in this verse we might miss because there's so much revelation is telling us that a simple small touch, what does it even mean? But there's a reason that touch is in the text. The touch means that Jesus has gone through it for us. It means that he can touch us where we're scared because he's taken on flesh for us. He's felt what it's like to lose a loved one. And he cried when he lost his friend Lazarus. He knows what it's like to go through suffering and death himself when he died on the cross. Hebrews chapter 2 says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, Jesus likewise shared in the same, that going through death, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. The gospel says to us that Jesus has gone through it and he came out the other side, so you will too. He partook of flesh and blood. He lived with us, among us. He suffered for us. He died for us. He says, I died And behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. The gospel is saying Jesus died, Jesus has risen, and now he has the keys. What it's saying, that he has the keys of death and Hades, is picturing for John's audience, who are familiar with Greek mythology, it's challenging their whole belief system and saying, no, Hades doesn't have the last say. Jesus has descended into the realm of the dead, into the prison, the place where people go and they never get out of. Their bodies are locked away in the ground to decay. Jesus went there. He confronted Satan. He proclaimed his victory, and he robbed him of his lunch money. He took away the sword, the keys to that prison, and he came out victorious so that he can unlock the prison and free our bodies and souls from the condemnation that we're under. He does what no one else in all of the Old Testament, in all of Greek mythology, in all of the world has ever done. He's unlocked Hades. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He's making a long, extended argument about why the resurrection is essential to everything we believe. And without it, he says, our faith had been in vain. I proclaim to you the gospel that I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day. You know, there are some churches who are taking away that language in the Apostles' Creed, the descent into hell, or they change it because they're not comfortable with it. Well, this is essential. This is what all the Bible is talking about, is Jesus' descent into hell is the key. It's where he robs Satan of his power and where he frees us from our sentence. And if Christ has not been raised, Paul says, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. But if Christ indeed has, if Christ has not been raised, then let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we will die. But now Christ has been raised, and he is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. I tell you, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but we shall be transformed. And this mortal shall put on immortality. And then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Those keys mean the sting is healed. And maybe some of you have lived through the sting of losing someone. And it hurts. It hurts to lose a loved one. But if that's all there was, if we had no hope that we would ever see our fellow believers again, that would sting far worse than anything else. But now Christ is risen, so he can heal the wounding of death, so he can give us hope, and we no longer have to live in fear. God has plundered death and taken back what is his. His beloved people. The final word on death is peace. As we were trying to get out of that escape room, there were several times that we got stuck. I was one of the first people to get stuck, but then others got stuck along the way, and they couldn't get me out of the jail. we knew that there was a plan, that there were clues, and if we could just be smart enough to figure it out, we would get out of there sooner or later. But time is ticking. You only have so long that you've paid for before they just have to basically let you out anyways. And sooner or later, the lady on the microphone who's watching us, and I suppose there's sometimes she's probably chuckling at these people, she has to chime in and tell us what to do next. Have you ever been so stuck in life that you just wish someone would chime in and unlock the puzzle for you? You wish that somebody would just tell you, what is the clue I'm missing? Because you're searching. You want to resolve this problem. You want resolution to the distress. And here comes the one who speaks from heaven. And he says, the resolution to the conflict is me. It doesn't mean I'm not going to let you struggle through that escape room. It doesn't mean that there aren't times and I'll leave you trapped. And you might feel like there's no way out, but be assured, I have the keys. And while we might be trapped temporarily in this situation or that circumstance or this memory, in the end, Christ is going to unlock it all. And when we die, he's going to unlock the end of the story. The end of the Bible is the book of Revelation. And the end of Revelation is chapter 21 and 22. In chapter 20, it says that Jesus came to judge all people. And he took Hades and death and did away with them. It says, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Jesus takes death and Hades and he throws them into the lake of fire, which is a picture of the second death. The first death is only temporary. The second death is eternal. And he takes death and Hades and he consumes them so they no longer exist. And then he tells you, I've written your book, name in a book. And while we might be judged by what we've done, and that matters, and while we should be aware of the consequences of unbelief and rebelling against God, he says, but for you who know my grace, who know my love and my sacrifice, your name is written in my book, the book of life. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first earth had passed away. And the holy city of Jerusalem came down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And the final word on death is peace. Amen.